Support for refugees is eroding in the Middle East. Growing fatigue with long-term displacement and economic crises are fueling hostility to migrants. At the same time, the calming effects of international aid are diminishing. The conflicts in Ukraine, Sudan, Gaza, and other new crises are pushing donors to reduce funding for refugees experiencing long-term displacement, leading to the largest shortfalls for international refugee responses to date. I'm here with Will Todman to discuss how the issue of refugees and displaced populations has become a flashpoint across the region. For centuries, communities of displaced migrants from inside and outside of the region have found refuge in MENA states. So why is the current refugee crisis such a polarizing issue?
Well, millions of displaced people across the region are currently stuck in limbo, and host communities are growing tired of hosting them. Most refugees really have no prospect of returning to their homes, integrating into communities, or being resettled in a third country. And there was a UN survey from May 2023, which found that only 1.1% of Syrians had any intention of returning to Syria in the coming year. At the same time, the duration of displacement is becoming longer. For refugees, the average displacement is now 2 decades, and for those who are displaced internally, it's more than 1 decade. There really isn't much prospect of solving the core drivers of displacement in the first place. Tensions on the Security Council are growing and it's becoming more polarized, which means the prospect of solving some of these conflicts through negotiations is lessening. And new pressures are making it even worse. As of January this year, around 450,000 Sudanese refugees have fled into Egypt, and more than 7 million people are seeking refuge either within Sudan or in neighboring countries.
So how have countries in the Middle East been managing the influx of refugees and internally displaced people?
Their strategies have really changed over time. Historically, MENA countries' strategies have ranged from full integration as citizens to total exclusion and exclusion from state services. So it often depends on the refugee's country of origin and the amount of international attention that the crises get, rather than their actual needs. When more than 1 million Syrians saw refuge in Jordan at the start of the Syrian conflict, Jordan linked hosting them with its development goals, and they secured international development aid in the process. But for other communities of refugees that get less international attention, like those from Sudan or from Somalia, Jordan has denied access to state services or to UN aid. So states today manage refugees more based on the priorities of international aid regimes than their actual needs. And with the decrease in international aid for refugees, this strategy is coming under increasing pressure.
Why are international donors scaling back their support in the region?
In part, it's because of having conducted decades of humanitarian operations in the Middle East. Donors have become exhausted, and now they're having to respond to new crises as well. In 2023, the UN's regional response for Syrian refugees has experienced the largest shortfalls to date. They have received just over $1 billion out of a total request of more than $5.8 billion. So we're talking about a 75% funding gap. Additionally, in 2023, the UN Refugee Agency cut cash assistance to host countries like Jordan and Lebanon. And that's led to dire consequences for the 1.52 million refugees who live in the two countries. And at the same time, the economic crises in these host countries are straining them. In Lebanon, the lira has lost more than 95% of its value since 2019, and more than 80% of its population have now fallen into poverty. Things are really bad in Turkey as well. Turkey is battling inflation to try to avoid a really severe economic crisis. And in Egypt, President Sisi and his government have failed to complete the conditions for the IMF's loan, and now they've turned to a new EU aid package for temporary relief.
How has the influx of refugees affected the domestic politics in these countries?
Well, leaders across the region are fueling anti-migrant hostility and using migrants as scapegoats to detract from those economic crises and the domestic turmoil. In Lebanon, the caretaker interior minister has accused Syrian refugees and migrants of committing crimes, taking jobs away from Lebanese, and creating a demographic imbalance along sectarian lines, saying that their numbers have to be limited. And this played out in Turkey as well last year in advance of the presidential elections, when different candidates used anti-refugee rhetoric to try to rally voters. President Erdogan promised to prepare for Syrians' return if he won, after opposition candidates took even stronger stances against Syrian refugees.
What strategies can international donors or policymakers use to best support refugees?
Well, the humanitarian principle of do no harm is really important, because if international efforts appear to prioritize the needs of refugees over individuals in need from host communities, they could actually end up fueling anti-refugee sentiment. So donors and humanitarians should try to link development and aid more closely and ensure that the support they're providing to refugees and host communities is based on need, not based on their nationality. They also need to develop more innovative resettlement strategies, as there's no political will in the West to resettle large numbers of refugees from the Middle East. The US and other donor governments should look to how some African states welcomed Afghan refugees after the US withdrawal, and increase support to states who are willing to provide shelter for displaced populations, in combination with increasing their own commitments to resettle refugees, of course. But policies also need to think about engaging with a broader range of stakeholders, including international companies, local entrepreneurs, and some of those working in the tech sector. Alongside new opportunities such as remote work, this would allow displaced individuals to utilize their skills and earn a living no matter where they live. International donors need to understand the specific obstacles within the environments that displaced populations live in, and think more creatively. If they do that, they can unlock new work opportunities for those on the move and help rebuild support for displaced populations in the region.
Thank you for joining me, Will.
Thanks, Leah.